Blog Talk Radio.
Joe here for Average Joe Radio on this March 15th, 2020. Welcome to Sunday afternoon. Good weather here in the Piedmont, North Carolina. Digging that. And that's one of the things that we may talk about if we have time. I know the title of the show today is Quality Time and Mass Insanity. And the quality time part is about above average. Joe and I on our camping trip last week when we were out on furlough, as it were, to we didn't do the show, but we did do a video from on location. I know those of you that don't follow the Average Joe Radio Facebook page wouldn't have seen that, but anyway, and the mass insanity part today is probably what we're going to talk about first, because that is in that's a worldwide topic right now, and I'm a little bit disappointed. Well, I'm a lot disappointed in a lot of my fellow citizens of this planet. I'm probably going to have to admit I'm not surprised. But we'll get into that in a second. First of all, this day in history, 1968, construction begins on America's highest vehicle tunnel. What do you think that was or is? Well, it was 1968. Construction starts on the north tunnel of the Eisenhower-Johnson Memorial Tunnel on Interstate 70 in Colorado, some 60 miles west of Denver, located at an altitude of more than 11,000 feet. The project was an engineering marvel and became the world's highest vehicular tunnel when it was completed in 1979. 4 months after opening, 1 million vehicles had passed through the tunnel. Today, some 10 million vehicles drive through it each year. That's a lot of vehicles. I'm not going to go any deeper in that. There's a little bit more in the article about it, but I don't really think y'all care about that today. So let's get right into the mass insanity that our world is experiencing. We have, I'm sure, we actually have mass insanity probably all the time, but I guess it's just been bugging me this week. And really what it comes down to is we're not going to talk about coronavirus, but that's what's triggered this phenomenon, and that is panic buying, in particularly toilet paper. And I posted on my Facebook, my personal page, that if you are mass buying bulk buying toilet paper or anything else for that matter because of this quote unquote pandemic, you're an idiot and you're part of the problem. And I don't back down on that. It's a psychological thing, and I actually looked it up just to see what I could find on why people would do this. When I think about the first time that I remember, I won't say the first time, but here in the South, every time it snows, or if they say it's going to snow, even since I was a kid, people would run out and buy milk and bread, and the ones that wanted to make French toast would buy some eggs, too. I don't know why people do that. I mean, I guess the general reason is that they're afraid they're going to get snowed in and they won't be able to get to the grocery store. We're in the South. It doesn't snow that often for one thing. And when it doesn't snow that much. I cannot remember a time, and I'm almost 60 years old, I can't remember a time that it has snowed so much that I couldn't get to the store to buy something I needed. Now, granted, I might have to wait a few hours, you know, for them to clean the roads up a little bit, but the most I've ever seen snow on the ground was like maybe a couple of weeks, and that's here in the South. But the last time, the one time that I saw a phenomenon similar to what we're experiencing now, was we had a hurricane, and I do not remember which hurricane it was. I just happened to think about it this afternoon when I was prepping for the show. And we knew it was coming. And everybody, and maybe there was some flooding involved, but everybody went out and bought up all the drinking water. And I'm thinking, well, first of all, if you live in a city or you live in a county where the infrastructure reaches you with a water system, you're going to have water. So, you know, it's not going to kill you to drink tap water. Now, in some cases, I can see under certain circumstances, especially in third world countries where the water could become contaminated or something like that. That's pretty rare, especially in these parts. But for some reason, people was going out and buying up all the drinking water. And I was thinking, you know, we're on a water system. Our well, you know, we don't have a well. If you have a well, now I can get that because you might lose power and you won't be able to pump the water out of your well. I get that. You know, it might be a good idea to put water in your tub or something so you can at least flush the toilet. But that was just really strange. People were doing that. I mean, they were buying just cases and cases of water that they would normally never use, or you know. And but this time, this takes the cake. This time it's toilet paper. I got a caller here. I think I know who it is. And let's see who this is here. Okay. I think this is Average Don.
Hello.
Hello, Average Don. hey, Don.
Go ahead and continue. I'm going to chime in a minute because you just said something that's not accurate, but go ahead.
Oh, did I?
Yes, you did.
Well, actually, I was going to get into this article on out of the Independent, so that was going to take a little while, so go ahead and correct me. I'm up for that.
Okay, when you mentioned... because you're on county water, municipal water, there's no need to go out and buy bottled water because there's nothing wrong with drinking tap water. One of the problems with that argument is, and I'll use Hurricane Floyd as an example, it knocked out about 40 counties. Their water systems went down. There was no electricity to power the pumps to pump the water. Also, there was overflow into the clean water system that contaminated the pipes, and so they had no water. They had to ship in, and FEMA did that, as well as North Carolina Emergency Management, brought in tractor trailer after tractor trailer load of water, because even though they were on municipal or county water, they had no water. Unless you want to try to, you can't get it out of the pipe. There's no water pressure.
Right, right.
So
well, that makes sense. But
it can be hurricanes.
How many
floods.
Times do you think that happens?
Actually, quite often, believe it or not, when you've got hurricanes that we're in a prime hurricane alley in North Carolina, it's
right.
Not uncommon. They also have contaminants like what just happened in Union County this past week, where they had E. coli.
Right,
and their
right.
water supply, and people had to start boiling their water, and they were. That's why all the water's off the shelves right now. It's because
that
of the Union
sense.
County.
That makes sense, and I do. I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, I thought about it earlier, but I hadn't thought about it, you know, for the show. But yeah, that was kind of a. We had kind of a double whammy with the water problem, which had nothing to do with the coronavirus. You know, situation. Just kind of a perfect storm, I guess. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I know average Don, that you know what you're talking about. You've been in the emergency business for most of your life. And I don't remember. Do you remember the storm that I'm talking about where everybody went out and bought up the water? It was like a year or so ago, I'm thinking.
Well, we had major flooding in North Carolina because you can't tell what section of the state it's going to happen, because obviously bad storms coming in off the coast, the coastal counties flood. You also have storms coming in from the south that flood the central Piedmont part. If it rains real heavy in the foothills, mountain area, all that runoff comes south, so it comes right through the Piedmont. The Yadkin River, Petey River, and Catawba River, all those will overflow. And so that's not uncommon. We have floods here all the time. We have major storms in North Carolina all the time.
Yeah, we do, and I concur on that. I guess I was just a little bit I wasn't really annoyed about it. I was just kind of like, why are y'all people buying a lot of water? Because right around here, I mean, because it was happening here too, and, you know, we're pretty good high elevation where typically I think my house sits about 600 feet or so above sea level. It would have to be like Noah's Ark or something for it to flood here at my house. And you're pretty high up too. You're probably a little higher than I am. But it just seemed like it was happening in places that normally wouldn't be a problem.
Word of mouth spreads things around. People are prone to overreacting. And as far as, you know, I do have a background in EMS. I actually was part of the state medical, the state emergency response team in the job that I held. I trained at the National Disaster Training Center in College Station, Texas. So, I mean, I do have a background. And one of the things that they usually say is if you can keep about 2 weeks' worth of food in your house, you'll probably do fine in the event there's something major hit you. We also have stockpiles of water and other goods all over North Carolina. They're in warehouses everywhere. I know that for a fact, as well as what FEMA can ship into North Carolina if we start running low. What we also do is, and the way FEMA works is they do stockpile, but FEMA also has contracts with the manufacturing companies, and they can tap, like the toilet paper companies, and tell them that they're wanting X number of thousand cases of toilet paper shipped into North Carolina, and those tractor trailers come rolling into North Carolina. That's essentially how the disaster system works. But people do, they tend to overreact, and I blame the media for hyping everything up. Can I give you a little perspective real quick?
Sure,
and
absolutely.
What we're up against?
Yeah.
Okay, this would be like the third so-called pandemic in the last 100 years. We had 1918, it was an H1N1 virus, it was the swine flu, Spanish flu, and roughly 675,000 people in the United States contracted the flu. And of that 675,000, there were roughly, it's less than 20,000 people actually died in the United States from it. Now, worldwide, it was bad. But in the United States, it wasn't too bad, especially in North Carolina. I think the swine flu that was Spanish flu, only 107 people died in North Carolina. So as bad as that one was. Then in 2009, 2010, we had the swine flu, which was also an H1N1 virus. And with that, nationally, I think it was about 12,000 died. The problem is when they start these things off, there are no vaccines around. But if you look at the number of deaths that we have just from a normal flu season, in the 2019 flu season we're in right now, the 2019-2020, we've already had 32,000. We've had 32,000, 34,200 people die from the flu. Right now, nationally.
And that's nationwide?
Yeah, well, I just looked on the Center for Disease Control site. As of 11 o'clock this morning, because they updated 11 o'clock every day, we only had 41 confirmed coronavirus deaths that they could say directly linked to the virus. There are going to be some people, they die, they're going to go ahead and classify that way, but they don't have the proof yet. And when it talks about the number of cases in the United States, they use the term presumptive cases because there's a problem with false negatives. And so even though it may show there's 3,000 in the United States that have tested positive, they're presumptive, it doesn't mean it's confirmed. There's a lot less than that that's going to be confirmed. It's a false positive coming up on the test, which is why CDC verifies for them. In North Carolina right now, we've had, I think it said 41 cases and zero deaths. And they're even saying that the Department of Health and Human Services for North Carolina is saying this is a mild thing, that we're not a serious threat right now, not to panic.
Right.
And there's no need to panic. I mean, this one, it's a virus like the flu. The symptoms are even like the flu. The big difference between the COVID-19 and the H1N1 viruses from 1918 and 2009 is the people that died from the H1N1 viruses were under the age of 65. It was usually children and young adults. The COVID-19 is targeting people over 65, and it's those that usually have some type of pre-existing health conditions. If you look at when they give reports of, for right now, about half of the people in the United States that have died from this thing are from one nursing home in Washington.
They were together. Yeah.
Yeah, they're clustered, and they're going to spread it around. They have pre-existing conditions. They're going to be the most at risk. But North Carolina, for those that are in your vast audience that are listening, we've got an advantage that happened after 9/11. Starting in 2001, or actually in 2002, after the 9/11 event, the federal government stepped up a program. It was then under the Department of Health and Human Services. They created a subsection of that called the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response, ASPR. And what it was for is to funnel billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars over these past 19 years to the states, and they directed how the money was to be spent in order to get the grant money, and it focused on public health. And over those 19 years, North Carolina, we've developed a stockpile, a state stockpile of ventilators, and we've got disaster shelters. We can shelter people in place. We've identified locations that we can go into, like a community college, shut the college down and move patients in and support them there. Every time that North Carolina applied for a grant, we had to fall into a category of where we were going to spend our money. And it was everything from developing coalitions between all the healthcare providers in the state, identifying your assets, where there are shortages, where the gaps are, where you need to build, identifying how to manage at-risk and special needs populations. All these patients that are in their homes that have home ventilator systems, if the power goes off, the ventilator doesn't work. So you've got to identify where they are and be able to evacuate them and then shelter them in a special needs shelter. You have to manage surge capacity. And we've done that. We've actually set up what's called the State Medical Assistance Program, where we've got 8 SMAT 2 trailers, which are high-level medical tractor trailers sitting at 8 major trauma centers across North Carolina. We also gave them what we call our M8 trailers, which are also medical trailers. We bought mobile hospitals, and each one of those trailers can set up and staff and operate a mobile hospital. And like I said, there's 8 of those. We've got the federal government has shipped into North Carolina what they call their strategic national stockpile. We have at unidentified locations across the state, massive quantities of medications, masks, ventilators, all of that, and it's sitting right here on top of us.
Right.
You know, I told you earlier, back during Katrina, we sent SMAT teams down to Waveland, Mississippi, because one of their hospitals got torn down and flooded out. We set up and took all their patients into our mobile hospitals and cared for them for a year. At the same time we sent our assets to Mississippi, we also had a hurricane hit the coast of North Carolina. The same year, within like a month, one hit North Carolina. We mobilized to the coast, set up shelters there, sheltered in place, sheltered in these other locations, had special needs populations taken care of, managed that, and still had resources that we hadn't even tapped yet.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Well, North Carolina is at the top of the list because we have multi-hazard here. We're a hurricane state, we're a flood state, and we're a tornado state.
Yeah. So we need to be ready.
We are ready. And that's the whole point. Is everybody needs to calm down because, believe it or not, North Carolina is set right now. We've got some of the best hospitals. We've got some of the best research facilities in the state and the Research Triangle Park. I mean, we are set nice right now. And this panicking, especially if you're not in the targeted age group of like over 65, or if you don't have particular underlying health problems, even if you catch this thing, the most that's going to happen to you is you're going to get a mild case of the flu for a few days.
Yeah. Well, one thing you said about, you know, the media, and I definitely agree with that, and I've been saying that all along, and I know that's not a unique opinion. You know, I think a lot of this, in, you know, social media has had an incredible effect on the thing that I was complaining about in the beginning about buying up all the toilet paper. People see these pictures of people going out and you see the empty aisles of toilet paper, and that just amplifies the panic, and people are going, oh, God, I'm not going to be able to get any toilet paper. I better go out and buy some toilet paper. And if you ask people why they're buying a bunch, and this is kind of alludes to the article I read. I'm not going to read this article because we're, you know, we got some good dialogue here. But basically it was saying if you go up to the, you see the people with these cartloads of toilet paper and you ask them why they're buying toilet paper, they'll say, I don't know. They'll say they don't know. They're just everybody else doing it, so I guess I better do it too. That's the kind of mentality, you know. Go ahead.
That attitude, when it creates a shortage, will create panic. And people, because if you really do not have any and you want to just like you normally would run to the store, pick up some, bring home, and the shelves are empty, it's going to make you want to go in and try to hoard back because you don't know how long it's going to last.
Right.
The Spanish flu, the swine flu, all of those flus only lasted about 12 months from the time they had peaked and started trailing off to this day. The H1N1 flu, the swine flu, and the Spanish flu, those still come around seasonally as part of just the seasonal flu. But we've got vaccines for that. So and they're going to have this vaccine for this COVID-19 develop soon. But you just got to keep in mind, it's not as bad as you think. There's no need to panic. Now, don't put yourself in a situation where you're going in to nursing homes because you could be carrying, and where you're going to be fine, you can spread it to somebody in there that's fragile and it's not going to do so fine.
Right.
So
well,
we've
kind of done that, you know, like with my mom. We're trying to keep her away from, you know, the kids and just kind of, you know, she wants to go to church and stuff, and, you know, she's grown and she can do what she wants to do. But, you know, she's 88 years old, so we want to try to, you know, kind of keep a safety bubble around here, her.
It's people like your kids, the grandkids and all, coming over to visit that they can actually introduce it into the house. You can't escape it. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And you just take precautions, but there's still no need to panic about all this. And I don't really understand why they shut the schools down, because the mortality rate at that age group, being like an elementary or high school student, is just about zero. And
it's ridiculous.
And even if they spread it, unless they get it and take it home and expose their grandparent to it.
Right. Well, you know, for my personal situation, you know, I try to practice what I preach, because I did actually post on Facebook that if you're going out and bulk buying right now, that you're part of the problem. And that was really being kind in saying it that way, because I think and think of some more adjectives I could describe those people. But, you know, we were getting down. We had about four rolls of toilet paper, and there's three people that live in our household. And so, you know, when we went to the store, I didn't make a special trip, but, you know, when we went to the store, you know, I would look and see if there was any toilet paper. And yesterday we found some, but it was actually really small roll, packages, and it was, you know, the cheap stuff. But I'm like, hey, so I go ahead and picked up a couple of packages, but I left some. There was only like a half a case left, so I wasn't going to buy all of it, you know, because somebody else is going to need it too. And it's like, why can't people do that? But I know, I get it. I mean, people just, they panic, and but it still just aggravates the heck out of me. So,
well, like I say, it's going to blow over really soon. And, yeah, nationally, I think it's irresponsible. There's one person on the media said we can expect about 1 million deaths from this thing in the United States, and that's absolutely irresponsible, because there's no way.
Yeah.
No way. I mean, if you look at the capabilities of our healthcare system today compared to 20 years ago, compared to 100 years ago, I mean, there's so much we can do now we couldn't do back then. And
right.
The technology's so much better. It's actually not going to be a big deal at all. Now, it is in those other countries where, like in Italy, they have an older population, and they're the ones getting it and dying off. That's why their death numbers are so high. It's an older population of people. But,
well,
really,
the culture
I just wish everybody
would
calm down.
That, I had somebody was in a conversation about Italy, and I think France is the same way. They have the culture's different. And, you know, like when people greet each other, they don't shake hands. They kiss each other on the cheek on both sides. And so they're just a closer culture. You know, I did actually change my behavior a little bit. I mean, I've always washed my hands. I wash my hands a lot anyway. But now when I greet people, as a precaution, we do the old fist bump instead of doing the full handshake. And I don't know how much difference that's going to make, but, you know, just to be, you know, I don't want to be spitting in the face of the coronavirus, you know, by, you know, pushing my luck. But that's great information there, Don. And I appreciate you calling in and sharing with us. That is just, I'm going to really push this episode to try to get even the ones that aren't listening live. And then also, I hadn't even given out the number. I'm glad you 914-219-0884. If you want to call in, if you got a comment.
Well, you've got a minute left.
I got a minute. Well, yeah, I just got the 90-second message from the Bit Bridge.
Well, I'm
going to
go ahead and hang up so you can come on, hang up so you can close your show out.
Well, again, thank you so much for calling in, and that's great information. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. So that was above average, Don. He will honor us with his presence on occasion when we have a subject that he's well versed in, and definitely the medical and the emergency medical field is. That's his, he did that most of his life. He's retired now, but he has definitely, he knows what he's talking about. He's been involved in all this. So, you know, he corrected me about the water situation. You know, he made a valid point. I didn't understand it. I mean, I know water systems fail, and I guess I was thinking more about, you know, our, in this particular region, because like I said, I'm sitting at about 600 feet above sea level, and it would literally have to take a flood of biblical proportions to put us underwater to cause a water problem here where we are. We're very blessed. But so I guess we're not going to talk about quality time today, but that's okay, because this is a very topical, current subject to talk about, and I'm glad we got to talk about it, and I'm glad that that Above Average John called in. Don't know what happened to Mr. Scott today. I guess he's maybe he's out looking for toilet paper, I'm guessing. But thank you for listening today, and we look forward to next week. We maybe hopefully this some of this insanity will be over by next week, and we'll move on to another topic. If we need to talk about this some more, we will. But maybe we'll talk about Above Average Joe and my trip next week, something a little bit more fun. But we'll see you then.